Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers, brothers, good evening, brothers. How you doing, man?
Lay on.
I tell you, man. Unbreak my heart, man. Unbreak my heart.
I think I saw a poll today from South Carolina and from a bit of a untrustworthy pollster that had Sanders and Biden tied, with Sanders just behind, and there was only a C-plus pollster from Nate Silver. I don't think I would put a lot of confidence in that.
Robert.
Leon. Yo.
Yeah, man. I think somebody has. We got a brother that called in earlier, and I think he was on the line there. He's still on the line, but how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, man. Doing great, bro. How you doing?
Good, man. I got a
hey,
big show tonight.
Hey, Robert. How you doing, man?
Hey, was that Rum Cully?
Yeah, brother.
Yes,
how
sir.
You doing, man?
Hey, Rum Cully. How you doing there, bro?
Hey, man. Doing great, man. We got to get back on what we talked about that one time. You know, I don't know if you've already dealt with that, but we'll talk about future things, hopefully.
Yeah, I was just over here reminiscing and mourning the loss of Jeanette Dubois, the iconic
who?
Star of Good Times. Wilona Wood from Good Times. She passed away yesterday.
Wow.
And that's why we had the.
Well, let me ask you this, Robert.
Huh?
Let me ask you this, Robert. Did Della Reese pass away too, or which has she already been dead, man? I can't keep up too good these days, man.
Della Reese been dead, man. Della Reese died like, gosh, I think when Obama was in the White House.
Well, she's just coming up, though.
What, Della Reese coming up?
Yeah, no. Well, anyway, man, we're about to talk about something else. Talk about something we know. How you brothers doing tonight? Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the Brothers For Real Radio Show. We have a big show tonight featuring Dr. Bruce Bridges, you know. Brother Bridges, Curtis, I'm glad you're on tonight. And I know you just told me you wouldn't miss it for the world after you realized Dr. Bruce Bridges was going to be on the show tonight. So we're really excited about that. I got some good information. I'm sure he'll be sharing with us. He'll be in Marvin, North Carolina on February 29th. And I'm really excited about that. People have been calling the Holler Center all day asking for tickets to see Dr. Bruce Bridges. And we're excited, man. And also, I'd like to cover a couple of things right quick. We've just got through doing the Lion King Jr. with Anson Middle School, which just proved to the whole wide world how talented our young people are. And how important it is that we put positive information before them to put into their head. Thank you, sir.
Amen.
It is
that's
so
great.
Important.
That's great. You're absolutely right.
It
so
is
glad
so
you...
important that we put positive information in their heads. They have this old nasty stuff going in their heads that's being put out there by these, I don't know what you want to call them, rap artists, I don't know. But they got so much nasty stuff going in their heads, destroying their mentalities, destroying their spirit, their morals, their consciences. And it's just a shame that we're allowing this to happen. But we're going to keep putting our young people in situations where they can put positive information in their heads. That's the best way to combat it. That's the best way to counter this. I mean, it's a world where there's free speech, so people are free to say whatever they want to do, free to put whatever that they want to on the internet and YouTube or whatever. But it's up to us to intercept and intervene with what goes on and what is going into our young people's heads. So I just thank the community and all these young people that we had participating in this program. Thank them for being a part of it and showing the whole wide world that our young people are ready. They are willing to learn what's good for them. They are willing to take good information and use it. They are willing to show their good, their real talent. So I'm excited, guys. I'm excited. We have a lot of people calling into the show already. Robert, what's going on in your part of the world, brother?
Man, we're still up here. We're still celebrating Black History Month in the nation's capital and around the world. I think every now and then we do have to take a pause and take stock of the accomplishments that we've made as a people and think back to Dr. Carter G. Woodson when in 1926 he started with Black Negro Week, Negro History Week. I think some people have been thrown off when they say, why it's February, why we do it in February, the shortest month. But we have to remember this holiday was actually started by a Black man, and he chose February because it was the birthday of Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. And so when we start looking back and looking at the history and remembering that we are making history today, we don't have to go back to 1926, back to slavery, to Frederick Douglass, Martin Luther King, Malcolm. We have to make history right now where we are. And because our children are watching, that's why we have to always remember that. That what we do today is the history tomorrow. And that's not just in Washington, D.C. That's all over the country and all over the world.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that, brother. Curtis E. Gatewood, what's going on your side of town, brother?
Hey, man, I tell you, what's going on my side of town is that I decided a long time ago, whenever I'm before young people or whether I'm before church folk, any month that I'm there, it's going to be Black History Month. And we're going to talk about the history that took place in that particular month. So February, if we want to talk about Black History Month, I'll talk about what happened in February, but then if I have to speak in March, we'll talk about some of the things that took place in March. And it goes on. So I'm hoping that people can catch on to that and let it be known that we do not have to limit ourselves to the shortest month of the year. We can talk about Black history anytime we get ready, anytime we stand before our young people, like those that we just had brilliantly showing how great they are in Anson County and where they performed in Sherrill, South Carolina. Our young people are ready to receive information, and we do not have to spoon feed them. We do not have to tap dance and dance and wait on white people to tell us that we can share Black history. We can share Black history anytime we want to, and I think that's what we should learn going out of Black History Month.
Amen. So what we're saying is Black History Month is kind of a ridiculous thing. I hate to say it that way because of the brother that founded it, but it's just kind of ridiculous to say Black History Month. Yeah.
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 But we love Carter G. Woodson just the same.
Absolutely.
He started out with Black History Week, and he had to do that because there was no Black history taught. In fact, there was the opposite of Black history being taught. All of our history was being, erased, and unfortunately, not only about history not being taught, but there was a glamorization of oppression and racism and hatred was being glamorized, and history was being rewritten, even the Bible, and it's still going on to this day. So So it's good to have somebody like Dr. Bruce Bridges that would be coming on that, for the most part, has been teaching us how to know who we are. His thing about know thyself has always been something that captured my attention when I was in Durham, and hopefully he'll be on shortly. But, yeah, but we have to get back to knowing who we are. Yeah.
Hey, Robert Gatewood. Is Robert still there? Yeah, he took a break, I'm sure. But look, we're going to take a quick break, guys.
Can you hear me?
And when we come back. Yeah, Robert, I hear you now.
Hey,
Robert, let's take a quick break, and we have a lot of people on the line. I'm going to try to reach over and talk and have a little chat with them, see how they want to come in on the show and get some stuff set up for Dr. Bridges. Is that good?
That sounds good. And while we're doing that, I agree with what you guys were saying about the black history. And the thing to remember is that we have to – everything is a process. Carter G. Woodson did, that was not the ending, and it wasn't the beginning, but you have to do things where you are, how you're able to do them in that particular time. And I think we're getting to a point now where, as a society, where we have more resources, we have more people involved, we have people are more awake, they're more engaged. And so now we have to pick up the phone and continue what he started.
Right.
And that's the responsibility of all of us.
And I also believe that even if we dare to have black history every day of the week for 365 days a year, we still should honor Black History Week, Black History Month, because it's also a part of our history.
Amen, brother. Amen. Let me get some
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Brother For Real Radio Show. We have a real talk tonight with Dr. Bruce Bridges. I remember him from back being in Durham, North Carolina. Everybody with me?
The audience is with you.
There you go. The audience is with me. So, Brother Bridges, how you doing tonight, Brother Bridges?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Curtis, what about you?
Hey, brother.
Curtis is good, man, but this Leon talking to you. Hey, now.
Oh, brother Leon.
Curtis
all right,
good,
I'm with
you. This is Leon.
Hey, how
you doing
I'm
tonight, brother?
Doing
yeah,
fine.
Curtis.
I'm glad you asked about me. I'm doing fine, brother. How you doing?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm always glad to hear your voice, Curtis.
Man, I tell you, man. I'm telling the people, man, I'm one of your students, man. You used to give me the opportunity to come to your the notebook store, and before you bring on one of your great lecturers like Rap Brown or somebody, you will give me an opportunity to say a few words to the community. And I never forgot that, brother. That's where it started for me. And I've always been appreciative of that, so I'm glad to get the opportunity to say it to you tonight.
Somebody.
Yeah, I got him.
Dial that number.
Is he here, Leon?
Oh, yeah, I'm here now, Curtis.
Yeah, Brother Bruce.
Leon and Curtis. You all sound just alike, brother, but I'm really glad to be a part of the program tonight, and we're going to flow real good now. I called several people and had them to tune in. As a matter of fact, I had two phones to my ear while you were talking to them. I was giving another brother in Fayetteville, North Carolina, the number so he could call. So that's why I was a little distracted. But I'm here with you, and I see you all were talking about Dr. Woodson. And one thing I've always liked about you, Curtis, and I found the same thing in your brother, and you have always, Curtis, from the very beginning, when you first heard me speaking or teaching at the store, the notebook store on Favre Street, which was a treasured commodity in Durham, North Carolina, you always gave me credit for having knowledge. I got to give you credit for giving me credit, Curtis.
Yes, sir, brother. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, you know, and that's one thing our people really, really need. We really are suffering, as the scripture says, we're suffering from the lack of knowledge. We really don't have knowledge, and that really holds us back for not having knowledge, you know. And this is why we, as you said, and I was listening to the program earlier because I called in about 7:02 before we really got started, and then you made the statement, Curtis, that everywhere you go, and I think it was you, because I think, what, you and three of your brothers on the air, you and two brothers, how many is it?
Yes, sir. Three of us on here tonight.
We have three tonight.
Okay. And I couldn't tell all the Gatewood voices sound a lot alike. But the point I wanted to make is, I think it was you, Curtis, because I've heard your voice so much, even though y'all sounded like yours is a little different. You made the statement that everywhere you go, no matter what time of the year it is, you try to talk Black history. And that's very good because, as you said too earlier, just to reiterate, it's the shortest month of the year. It was established in 1926 as Negro History Day, and then that Negro History Day extended into Negro History Week, and now we have Black History Month. But it's still too short because there's no way in the world that you can even talk about or begin to discuss the history of the most ancient people on this planet in one day, in one week, in one month, or in one year. Because when you talk about Black history, you really go back to the beginning of the world itself. Because the first right. people to set foot on the face of this planet about 3.5 to 4 million years ago, down at the base of what they call the Mountains of the Moon, or Mount Kilimanjaro in East Africa, is where it all began. And there were no other people on the planet. There were no Spanish people. There were no Hispanic people. There were no Greeks, no Romans, no French, no British. There were none of these people, no Indians, no Chinese. The original people of this planet are the African people who were called the Twa. That word is spelled T-W-A at the time. And the Twa people, or the Kui people, as a good friend of mine, Dr. Richard King, who has now gone on to the ancestors used to talk about. And these people are the first people on the earth. So whenever you talk about the beginning of anything, if it's the beginnings of geography, dealing with the earth, and all the seven continents on the earth, and if you're dealing with drama, mathematics, science, technology, computers, engineering, aeronautics, whatever the case may be, it all came from the head and from the mind of the original people on this planet who discovered all the arts and the sciences that we know anything about. So just this hour here is not really enough to do anything. We're just scratching the surface. We're just scratching the surface of this planet that we call Earth. That's all.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And so I back as people because one thing that the colonizer or European people have always done to people of color, wherever they go, they make sure that the people have no knowledge. They want to make sure that on February 14th, you're going to go out, you're going to buy some roses, and you're going to go out, and you're going to buy candy, you're going to go out, and you're going to buy cards, and you're going to go out at Halloween, and you're going to buy pumpkins, and you're going to buy turkeys at Thanksgiving. You're going to follow everything that they have taught. But when we put it on the scales and weigh it and look at the truth and the falsehood of all this and leave our emotions out, because oftentimes we as a people get hung up with emotions. And emotional people are not irrational people. And our emotions are important, of course, because the human being is made up of not just rational thinking and not just the emotional part of himself, but there's also a rational part. And when we use our rationality and we look at the facts of history, we have to understand what's going on, and we recognize that Dr. Woodson did not want us to split February up in half. 28 days in February, half of 28 is 14. He didn't want us to take half of the month and then go into the middle of the month and start talking about a little baby with a bow and arrow and flying around with a diaper on. And what's so bad about it is that if you ask us where it came from, we have no idea where it came from. I could almost understand this if a brother or sister says, well, you know, I did it, but I mean, I knew I shouldn't have done it. But we just do it like a trained automaton or like a robot. And I had one brother say we're really worse than robots, because robots are so smart nowadays that they are almost like people. But anyway, we really do things while not thinking about it. And this comes from our Miseducation, which is a great book by Dr. Carter G. Woodson, The Miseducation of the Negro. And in that book, The Miseducation of the Negro, he says that the Negro has been so used to doing what he has been told to do, he has not even stopped long enough to think about why he's doing these things. We just do these things, but we really don't know why we're doing them. And when you look at the origin of the word education, which is a good field for us to study, which is etymology, as I call it, etymology, which is the study of the origins of words, etymology. The study of, ology meaning the study of, and eti meaning word, the study of word origins. You'll find that the word education comes from two words, e, that part, the e, which means out of or to go out, and the ducere, which is Latin for to out of, and air means to lead. So it means to lead out of ducere, which means to lead, and air, which means out of, at ducere. So when you're really educated, you should be led out of somebody thinking for you, and you should be able to think for yourself. But we have been miseducated, and we really don't think for ourselves today in the world, because if we think for ourselves, then we'd be a different people, and we'd be actually doing something entirely different. So in his book, which is a good book, The Miseducation of the Negro by Dr. Woodson, and to those who might be listening and taking notes, he wrote several books, The History of the Negro Church. Another book he wrote was one called Negro Heroes and Heroin, and various other good books, A Century of Negro Migration, another book by Dr. Woodson. But Dr. Woodson was a great African-American who we have to give credit for establishing African-American History Month. And he became the second African-American to receive a PhD from Harvard University, by the way, second only to Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois. And he said to all of you Gatewood brothers who are on the air and to those listeners who are tuned in, he said that he had studied at Harvard University. He said, I studied the history of France. I learned about Louis XIV. I learned about Ponce de Leon. I learned about the rivers of France and the geography of Paris. He said, I learned about London, England. I learned about Germany, and I learned about Switzerland. I learned about Spain. I learned about the Portuguese and the Portuguese culture. He said, but I knew nothing about myself. So that's why it's important that we as people get self-education, and then we can begin to learn about other people. But when you don't know yourself, then you make the wrong moves in the world. We have to know who we are.
Amen. I love it. Amen.
And I don't know if we can – on your program, do you take phone calls sometimes from your callers, or you don't, or how does it go? I don't know your system here.
Leon?
Yes, sir, we do take calls. We do indeed take calls. As a matter of fact, we're going to open up the lines. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine. I'm fine.
Okay. All right, we're going to take calls. If anybody has a call, you can actually push the go ahead and ask a question for the good doctor. Just give us the last two numbers of your phone number to identify yourself, and we'll put you on.
Look, well, while they're coming, I just want to thank Dr. Bridges for just giving us his time. I knew you said he was going to be on, but I said, well, I believe it when I hear it. And so I'm just thankful that he did stop by. Yeah.
And while he's waiting for the call, too, Curtis, you might want to announce the program where I'm speaking next Friday night, February 24th, I think it is, down in your hometown. You might want to announce that.
Right. You're talking about down there in Morven?
Right.
Yeah, Leon. I think Leon talked about it earlier. He's going to be speaking at his center. Leon is the founder of Holla, and he and I think Alex Gaddy probably got up with you. And they, you know, Alex never forgot you either. I guess anybody who's been in Durham would not forget Bruce Bridges in the notebook store. So I think Alex probably put together some, might have gotten in contact with you. He works down there at the Holla Center with my brother Leon in Morven, North Carolina. If I'm not mistaken, it's going to be February 29th, if I'm not mistaken.
February 29th. But, I'm sorry, I said 24th. I have another radio show I'm doing. That's what it was. I'm getting my dates mixed up. But February 29th, I'll be down in Morven, North Carolina, which is down in, what's that, Anson County?
That's correct, Anson County. And I don't have the flyer before me, but I do know one thing. People have been calling in, from what I understand, to get their tickets. I think tickets are just $10, and that is not bad at all, because you're going to get a meal, from what I understand, jerk chicken and the whole nine. So it's going to be a big day, and I want Leon to come back and give us the specifics.
And as a matter of fact, I'll be discussing my book too, Recapturing the African Mind. That's what I intend to go into down in Anson County on the 29th of this month at the Holla Center in Morven, North Carolina.
Right, and I'm blessed enough.
That
to
is
have
correct,
book, brother.
That is correct, brother.
I'm blessed enough to have the book, and I recommend it for everyone that will be there. So Leon, are you back?
Yes, sir, I'm back. We're over in the chat room. Dr. Bridges will be at the Holla Center on Saturday, February 29th at 6 o'clock p.m.
Right.
At the Notebook Store and Cultural Center is presenting him at the Holla Center in Morven at 229 East Main Street. And he will be speaking on the Know Thyself lecture series. Is that right, Dr. Bridges?
That's right. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do, and I'll be selling my book, and I'm going to do a book review of my book, Recapturing the African Mind. I'm going to try to go from the beginning all the way to the end of my book, bringing out the highlights, because it fits directly in with Dr. Woodson. And one thing that Dr. Woodson, his work, he talked about the miseducation in the public school system, and I really took it a step further, because I'm going to talk about miseducation in the church and in the schools, and that's very important, because we have found that people who are educated and have degrees of all sorts, but their spiritual knowledge can oftentimes hold them back. They can be educated when it comes to math and science and history and geography and social work majors and all these kinds of things. But when it comes to that spiritual aspect, most don't understand that part. And I'm going to talk about how the Bible and the scriptures have been used to miseducate us and to take advantage of us as a people. So I'm going to be discussing Recapturing the African Mind, which is the title of my book, and it is an examination of the mental destruction of Africans in America and throughout the world caused by Eurocentric Christianity and Eurocentric education. That's my topic, Recapturing the African Mind, and it will be an examination of the mental destruction of Africans in America, meaning us, and throughout the world caused by Eurocentric Christianity and Eurocentric education. And you say you had a caller there, so I'm going to be quiet because I know you'd like to hear from your caller.
We have a call from Michael.
I didn't necessarily have a question, but me and Brother Gaddy is the one that's trying to take the lead.
Good evening, caller.
Dr. Bruce, Dr. Bridges. And I just want to commend you all, the Gatewood brothers, on your show and help with promoting the event. And also thank Brother Bruce Bridges for taking the time out of his schedule to come down and try to help bring forth knowledge in our small little community. But I just want to take time out to thank each one of you, you know.
Well, we appreciate it. Hey,
brother,
hey, brother,
brother, man. And I'm glad he was able to call in because you're right, Michael. Michael has been very instrumental in trying to help educate our Negroes in Athens County. And we appreciate you all getting together to get Dr. Bridges there and to Brother Ellis Getty also. But Dr. Bridges, anything you want to say to Brother Michael?
Oh, I just want to commend Brother Michael for what he is doing in the community there, and also thank him for the invitation and for having me down here in Addis Gather, having me to come down to present on the 29th of this month. And I'm really looking forward to being there. That's about it. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. We look forward to you being there.
Amen to that. Brother Dr. Bridges, I have a question. I am disturbed by the music, if that's what you want to call it, that our kids are listening to now. How much violence and vileness is in that music? And
I'm
how
trying to hear you. I hear a lot of stuff in the background. I'm trying to hear you, but I hear a lot of background noise. That now it's quiet. Yeah.
Yes, sir. What I was trying to talk about was, I know we're getting a lot of miseducation from it. We're getting a lot of miseducation from all corners, four corners. And one of the big things that has bothered me is the music that our young people listen to. And what is your opinion on that?
Hey, I'm trying to. By the feedback, I can have. I think I heard your question. I hear it.
Yeah.
I like the wind blowing or something. I don't know.
Something.
Right, so you hear it too.
I'm turn somebody's. Yeah, I'm going to mute some people out.
He asked, what is your take on the music? Mainly the music that pretty much self destructive without violence and profanity. Well, you know, I'm not getting the fancy part, but the message in the music today.
All right. We have Michael. We have Michael on the phone with a question for Dr. Bridges.
You might get on the phone without Michael.
Can't hardly hear it. Real, real, real bad connection here, I think.
Can you hear me now?
Not that good.
I like the wind. I don't know. Somebody's neat. I don't know. Now that's real good. Now it's quiet.
Michael Hyman, can you go ahead, please?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Be loud and clear.
Yes, I'm well. I first became aware of Dr. Bridges, became aware of you, and last night on a classroom forum led by Benjamin Bilal. But I wanted to ask you about the when we deal with the history of miseducation, how we look at our ancestors being brought over here for the purpose of serving the interest of the Caucasian majority, and also us not being taught or we being taught to not look at our own interests, and by virtue of that producing a new people altogether that had never been found are called Negroes. And how you introduce that in terms of your awareness, your awareness, making us aware of our real history.
And you know, brother, I'm glad you asked that question because I myself, as the Gatewood Brothers are doing now, except mine came straight from the studio. I used to do a radio talk show, and I did a lecture on one of my radio programs called African Americans Made into a Brand New People. Talk about the fact of how we were actually made after we came onto the shores of this country. And in the chapter in my book, I talk about how we were even what we call seasoned in the islands before coming to America, and how we were taught to be slaves.
Yes, yes.
And I don't even like to use the term slaves. I like to use the term enslaved people, because we were not slaves when we came here, and we were not slaves when we were here, but we were just an enslaved or a captive people. So I like the word enslaved. As you're saying, you're absolutely right. When we were enslaved, we were taught to serve the interests of white America and Europe. And even when you look today at the greatness of England, and when they talk about Spain and Portugal, and the reason these countries are great is because of the labor and because of free labor of African people working the soil and producing the sugar for Domino's Sugar Company and producing the sugar to make Bacardi rum and producing the sugar to make Hennessy and making the molasses. All this came from us working for nothing. And the cotton, for the cotton industry, and I was listening to the radio the other day, they were talking about the industry of caffeine and coffee and how all of the money that came from all of that was because of the sweat and labor of African people who worked on those plantations of cotton and indigo and sugar cane for nothing. And that's really what ushered in the Industrial Revolution and made Europe as great as it was. America and the Western world would have nothing if it were not for the work and the slaving, the hot mornings from can't see in the morning to can't see at night that we worked. They would have nothing. So we are the reasons for that, brother. And if you take us out of the equation of America and Europe, what would they have? We were just talking about the music. I'm going to tie this into the music because the brother asked a question about music. But if you take us out, take us away from the music industry, be it country and western, be it R&B, be it rap, whether or not it's hip hop or rap, or whether or not it's gangster rap, or whatever, or R&B, or doo-wop, or what, so-called classical music. When you look at the history of classical music, and you look at Beethoven was an African who lived in Europe, and when you look at that music, you can't leave us out. And when you look at that drama, and look at that great epics and stories, and that literature, like Alexandre Dumas, who wrote The Three Musketeers, and who wrote The Count of Monte Cristo, and all these things. If you take us out of the equation of the world, there would be nothing at all in the world without us. And when we talk about the music, I agree with the brother. Some of this music is very negative, but I have to give it to the young people. They've taken hip-hop to another level. Most of the artists are independent. They're not bound by the agents and the producers who operate and treat them from a standpoint of a gangster dealing with his prey. But they produce their own music, they sell their own music, and they stand up for themselves, even though they need to have some consciousness. Someone needs to get to them and to put something into their minds so they can be positive about what it is they bring out in the lyrics. But when we look at the origins of rap music, you even trace that back to the ancient West African griots who told the stories in the communities around African people and who talked about the hair and the tortures and who talked about the animals and who came into America, and we talked about the signifying monkey and the pool shooting monkey and the movie that Eddie Murphy just made about Rudy Ray Moore and all these kinds of things. All that started and came out of the veins and the loins and the mind and the tongue and the speaking and the drama and the of African people. So you really can't leave us out. But what it is that if we ever get our minds back and begin to know who we are, then we'll understand why Colin Kaepernick did what he did, and we'll be on the side of Colin Kaepernick. He won't be standing by himself. Those other basketball players and football players and baseball players will begin to understand and stand with Colin Kaepernick, and they'll begin to do things like LeBron James did. I have to give him credit. He just gave scholarships to several African-American students, and he sent some of his boys back to school so that he could have agents and not have to depend on the Jewish agents to make deals for him, because he's beginning to understand who he is. And whenever you begin to stand up and understand who you are as a person, as a human being, then you best believe there's going to be some opposition. As long as you aren't doing anything, you get no opposition. But when you begin to stand up and speak out like Brother Minister Curtis Gatewood and other people of that sort, then you'll get opposition. But if you're not doing anything, there's no opposition. You're fine. Everybody likes you, and you like them, and everybody's happy, and we go along to get along. But when you take a stand from the pulpit, if you're a minister and you take a stand from the pulpit on Sunday morning and in your revivals and in your reunions that you have in church, and when you begin to go into your classroom as a professor on a college campus or high school or where you work in your corporation and you take a stand, you'll get respect, but you will have some opposition. So we
Thank
have
you,
to understand
Thank
that.
Thank you very much. I will be buying your book.
All right, and if you don't mind, Brothers Gatewood, I'd like to give my phone number if I could, in case people might want to order a copy of my book. I'll give out my phone number.
Please.
I'll tell you what, you do that, and in the meantime, we have another brother on the line with a question. Mr. Fahim is on the line with a question, and after Fahim gets done with his question, brother, make sure you get your information out there, okay? How you can do it.
Where's this brother calling from, do you know? I just wonder.
Fahim,
you're on the air. Hold on. Fahim, you're on the air.
Hotep, brothers.
Oh, Hotep, brother. I know that voice. Hotep, my brother.
Is that Fahim Knight? Is that Fahim
yes,
Knight?
Sir. Yes, sir. Hotep. Hey, let me say this.
Hotep.
First of all, thank you, Dr. Bridges, and thank you, Brother Curtis Gatewood. Let me say this. Brother Curtis Gatewood has been on the front line of our struggle for many years. So I want to thank him and thank my teacher and mentor, Dr. Bridges. Now, I was with Dr. Ben Chavis Muhammad this past Sunday at Mount Calvary Church in Durham. He left us with this. He said, "The struggle continues. We must continue to fight for social justice and liberation." So when I look at Black history, I just don't see academics talking. But we must do not just to talk, but we must have a component to activism. And Brother Bruce and Brother Curtis have been out front 30 plus years, Durham, Oxford, throughout the state of North Carolina, fighting on behalf of our people. Now, I think about James Cone, who started Black Liberation Theology. When we talk to our people, Brother Bruce, in the churches, we have to give them a black liberation theology. Dr. Cone said this in 1967. So when Brother Curtis talking about Carter Woodson, hey, wasn't for Dr. Woodson, the intellectual piece of black history would be null and void. They said Africa was the dark continent. Carter Woodson said, no, the greatest enlightenment came out of Africa. Brother Bruce, you're going to my wife's part of town, Waynesboro, North Carolina. And Sonoma County, Waynesboro, back up in there. That's where my wife's people are from.
You might want to go over down there, brother.
Yeah, might make that trip with you. I just want to say thank you all. We must continue the struggle. We can't just intellectualize it, but we have to be front line fighting not just Trump and white supremacy, white racism, but we are just a fight to educate and save our people often from themselves.
Lord,
okay?
Mercy, man.
So I say to you all, in the spirit of Malcolm, Dr. King, in the spirit of all the great warriors, let's continue that front line fight. Let's not let Sojourner Truth down. Let's not let Harriet Tubman down. Let's not let Nat Turner down. We're in a fight. And it's a fight for social justice. Mr. Haywood, my brother, my friend, I don't care what anybody says, Curtis Gatewood has been out front fighting for Negroes throughout the state of North Carolina. And I said, brother, my prayers are with you because I know the sacrifices you made. Brother Bruce, brother, it wasn't for you. You set Durham on fire. No bookstore. Brought folks in like Dr. Khaled Muhammad, Kwame Ture, Jamil Alameen. You brought these folks, Ashaka Musa Barashango, Steve Coakley. Right?
The mercy.
You brought them to us in Durham.
He did.
As a professor, brother, crisscross between St. Aug and Central, teaching our people. And Elijah Muhammad said this. He said, of all the knowledge we can acquire, there's no knowledge better than the knowledge of self.
Mm,
and so, I'm in it there, but thank y'all. Thank y'all. And may God be with you. Thank you, brother.
And maybe you'll be with me on the 29th. We'll talk about it, brother.
Hey, wow. You're going to Waynesboro. I may go with you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Come on.
Thank you,
brother.
Oh,
yeah.
God bless you, brother.
Amen. Yeah, peace.
That's another brother I had to tune in tonight, and I have several other people who may be tuned in too from this area too to listen to the program, Brother Gatewood. Hope y'all didn't mind me having other people to tune in.
Man, you know, of course not. We have several people on the line. We sure do.
Oh, good.
Several people listening. So, Brother Bridges, go
ahead
and give your information real quick so people know how to.
Let me send my love to Brother Fahim Knight. This is a brother.
Man, I love him too,
and
man.
More than a brother. He is a man. He's been very generous in his compliments to us. But I will say, we are brothers. This brother has generated the spirit that would give warriors the fight that we have. And he has been,
man.
He's not always talking a lot, but he's doing a lot. And he is a brother that God sent, and I thank God that he was able to be on the call tonight.
I felt the spirit in him, brother. I felt God
hell
in
yeah.
him.
Hell yeah, not just about the spirit.
The spirit of the ancestors. He has the spirit of the ancestors. Yes, sir.
Jesus.
Brother Bridges, give me information right quick, man. We got some people on the line. We have our director of our play, the Lion King Jr. We want her to say a little something in a little bit. But I want you to get your information out there so people can get prepared.
I'll be in Wadesboro, North Carolina, in the little small community of Morven on February 29th from 6 o'clock until we finish. And that's the 29th of this month, which is on a Friday evening in Morven, North Carolina. And my topic will be Recapturing the African Mind. And that will be this coming Friday, February 29th, in Morven, North Carolina, which is down in near Wadesboro, North Carolina, and a part of Anson County. I'll be there next Friday night. To those who are tuned in and who might want to come out, and they'll have dinner there and music and various other things.
Amen.
229 East Main Street, Morven. 229 East Main Street, Morven, North Carolina. 28119. 229 East Main Street, Morven. We'll be at the Holla Community Development Center. That's HOLLA Community Development Center. 229 East Main Street in Morven.
Sitting right beside Wadesboro. So Fahim, come on down with the family, brother. Yeah.
Man, I'm on to meet Fahim, man. He got the spirit of the ancestors in him, man.
Yeah. Oh, I might bring him with me down there. Let him bring me on that day.
That'd be great.
We like.
Okay, you say you got a couple other callers listening. Want to say something, huh?
Let's see, Robert. We had a couple of callers. I was trying to get the name up on the board. So if you have a question for Dr. Bridges, take a breath and just start speaking. If we get double over, if you start talking over somebody, we'll just mute one person out. But if you have a question, go ahead right now.
Or if they just have a comment, it's fine, too. Some of them just have a comment, right?
Amen. All right. Some people, Dr. Bridges, get on, they just want to listen, and that's okay, too.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine, brother. That's right. That's good. That's probably better.
I went down the hall and tried to identify the ones that wanted to talk, so nobody volunteered. So if they just want to listen, that's fine, too. But if you do want to talk, please speak right now.
Well, Robert, Dr. Bridges, I know you won't mind either. We do have our director for the.
Can y'all fade that out?
Yeah, we're trying to find it.
Robert.
I think we got it.
Are you listening to me at all? Where's my remote? Under here.
Oh, Lord. All right, we're about to catch on
right.
to something here.
I think we got
we're
it.
About to witness something.
We don't want to be witnesses. We don't want to be accessories to anything up in here. If the Lion King person was, give me the last two digits of your phone number so I can unmute you, please. Do you know Leon?
Dick. Yeah, hold on a minute. Victoria. Let's get Victoria on the line here.
Because I went through and muted everybody to get rid of that noise.
I got you. We'll get Victoria on the line here. She's 910-206-4297. There she is right
okay.
there.
All right, Victoria, we got you.
Victoria,
back.
How you doing?
Okay. Hello, how are you? I'm good.
Great,
right,
man.
Sorry for the
distraction. Yeah, we had a little, we got a lot of stuff going on the line today. Mr. Bridges got our lines all blowed up.
Oh, yeah, I was listening in. I could hear it. He's talking some good stuff over there.
Hey, let me
say
this,
Dr. Bridges.
You have tested our capabilities today. Bless your heart.
Oh, is that right? Oh, by having so many people to tune in.
You done blew us up over here.
That's a beautiful.
But you know what? Like I said earlier, before we hear from the sister with the Lion King, when I used to do my radio talk show, I would always like to hear from the community. As they say, I used to put my ears to the ground and like to hear what the people are saying. So whenever I'm on anybody's radio program, I always call friends and text and email and have other people to tune in because, you know, it makes it better when it's a whole community event. And I'm just
Absolutely.
A person who's always been against elitism and just a few people get what's going on. I kind of like to have it so that we all can, you know, partake.
Well, I can tell
That's
you
right.
I'm a radio
well,
man because that makes great radio. That makes great radio. Thank you.
It is, and I don't know if you're the brother from D.C. or not, but I know one of the Gatewood brothers from D.C. and does a show and say they might want me on in D.C. in a few days, in a couple of days.
Well, you're talking to him right now. And I'm telling you,
all right, we can talk about it later off the air. That'll be fine.
All right, we will do that.
Okay.
All right, great.
All right, now. Here we go, Victoria. How you doing tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm good. How you doing?
Have you caught your breath yet?
Yes, I'm good.
Hey, she still sounds a little winded to me.
I don't want to take up much time, but congratulations, Sister Victoria. I'm hearing about all that's going on all the way up here in the Durham area, about what you guys doing down there with the Lion King, and I didn't get the opportunity to see it, so y'all going to have to do it somewhere where we can bring it up in this area.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. We would love to, and thank you.
Right.
Victoria,
here's
what I need you to do. Anyway, if you'll introduce yourself, well, I'm gonna tell you guys as much as I know about it. I know Victoria is a teacher at Anson Middle School, and she's a graduate of Fayetteville State University with a degree in theater. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
And she came to us kind of out of nowhere. And when I say that is, she was introduced to me by the principal of Anson Middle School, which is Danielle Blunt. And we sat down and wrote a proposal for the Lion King Jr., for the Lion King Experience, which is a program offered by Disney to introduce school systems to the arts, because the arts is disappearing in the school system. But it's very valuable in our community. You know, it's very valuable to our students because it does so many things as far as helping in the development of youth. So we were very fortunate to have the program, first of all. And secondly, very fortunate that we were introduced to Victoria Utley, who put her entire life into this project for quite a few months. And I just want to say, maybe you get together with
Dr. and maybe y'all could come up with another an original that would address some of the history that we're talking about now in a play. But anyway, that's another thing for another day.
Oh, that's an excellent
idea.
Wouldn't that be amazing? And as a matter of fact, too, and we can talk about it, like you said, later, Brother Gatewood, but I have a niece who's in Vermont right now. She's a director. She directs theater plays, and so I'd like to hook her up with the sister who's talking, and really we might could get something going. That's a very good idea. And there's another brother who has a play that's going around now on Frederick Douglass, and he's I think I called him about tuning in. He may have tuned in, but he's down in Georgia, and he's a very good play, and he's trying to put it on the road. He and his wife do a two-part play on Frederick Douglass. And so, yeah, I'd like to get with the sister, too, a little later on. So I hope that, you know, I know how to get in touch
yes,
with Gatewood. All right, then. I'll let the sister go ahead and talk.
Uh-huh. So Victoria, kind of give us your experience. Tell us what happened to you over the past 6 months. What happened? How did you find your time to do this? I mean, because you really spent a lot of time doing this. I'm still amazed.
To be honest with you, it's not so much as finding the time but making it. And it's just that when you really care about something or you love something, you just make the time for it. It's like time becomes available. I didn't have to, you know, scramble through things that were going on in my life to make it happen. I just made this happen, and everything else had to fit around it. So I think that, as you know, all of us, the kids, the people that were helping on the show, all the way back to the stage handlers, we all became family, and we made it something that we cared about. And we took, you know, our best foot forward, we put it out there, and we gave the community a show that blew them away.
If you must say so yourself.
Yes, if I must. I don't mean to toot the whole Lion King cast.
You're good. I'm the same way. I mean, that's all I'm hearing. We were blown away. I mean, I'm hearing it every day. I was in a meeting today with people that just started talking about it, and tears just come to their eyes. It's amazing. Like I say, everywhere I go, people crying. I'm like, what's all the crying about? But people, I'll tell you what's happening with this. People are seeing, you know, to me anyway, so many people have written our youth off as failures. They don't have any motivation. They don't have any inspiration. So many people have done that to our youth. And when you see it, you see how talented they really are and how much, what can happen when we put time into them. It'll make you cry.
Yes, sir.
It'll make you cry when you see how talented some of the kids that you know people have written off just because of their situations. You know they've been written off. You know if they go in the school system, you're gonna see them probably sitting over in a corner somewhere. People not paying them any attention. Or they're just allowing them to be anything but what they really need to be in that classroom. And it'll make you cry when you see that. See those young people perform, learn. We had one guy that learned the whole script in 2 weeks. And And I just tell you how valuable he is when one of the actors got sick. Was that opening night? Was that opening night,
yes, sir.
Victoria?
Yes,
got
sir.
Got sick
on opening night.
And this guy just filled in. I mean, didn't miss a beat, didn't miss a cue, didn't miss a nothing, didn't miss a beat.
Nope, he knows the whole show, everybody's part.
So it's a Victoria. You're going to be
this
down
guy's
on
what?
The 29th? Are you going to be down on
sir?
The 29th when Dr. Bridges comes?
Oh, yes, sir. I'll be there. You don't got to worry about that. Front row center.
Front row center.
Great.
Front row center. Victoria, I just want to say another thing. What do you say, Robert?
No, so that's the 29th, right?
Yes,
right.
Yes, sir.
29th, February. Another thing that was so amazing to me was, see, Victoria, how old are you?
I'm 25.
What? See, Victoria's on a 25. Yeah, she's on a 25, man.
Get out.
Yes, sir. 25.
So that's what I'm saying, man. This was a youthful production.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was just amazing. The young people at their best. That's all I can tell you.
What you talking about?
I'm just amazed.
What you talking about?
Okay.
Shut up, Gary.
Yeah, Willis. Yeah, so Victoria, I'm going to say it again. God bless
yes,
you.
Sir.
And we're going to meet by Monday. We'll be meeting by Monday. I have some people coming together. We've been talking to Disney again about doing a new contract over the past couple of days.
Hey, let's do it. You know I'm all in for it.
I know y'all. So
yes,
we've been
sir.
Working on that, just waiting on a response from them. And so we're excited. I just appreciate you calling in tonight. Guys, you have any questions for?
Yes, sir. Thank you for letting me
You have
speak.
Any questions for Victoria, brothers?
I have one question for Victoria.
Victoria, yes,
okay.
Considering your and your, as I can listen to you, I'm listening to you, you sound very wise beyond your years. What's next for you? Where are you planning to go with this talent?
I don't honestly, that's a good question. I don't know. I try to simply just whatever, whenever I move, I try to pray about what I'm moving into. And then once I do that, whatever leads me to the next thing, I go. And 9 times out of 10, if I end up somewhere like I landed at the Hollow Center, I'm pretty sure God talking to me.
What I'm detecting is that you are driven by a purpose. And
oh,
so
yeah. Yes,
one
sir.
day, somebody, something, or it may just come to you out of just intuition, that purpose is going to be crystallized, and you're going to be propelled to greatness. I'm just telling you right now. You are purpose-driven.
Yes, sir.
And
thank
sometimes,
you so much.
Sometimes in our younger years, we don't always see what that purpose is, but it's there.
Yes, sir.
And but once you lock into it, man, look out, world. Look out, world.
Look, don't mess me up on this phone now. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I received it. Yes, sir.
All right. That's all I want to say.
All right. Well, let's call you, Victoria. God bless you.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank y'all so much. I have a blessed night.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, Victoria.
Yes,
Dr. Bridges, you're still on the line, I see, brother.
Yes, sir. I'm still with you, brother. You know I'm with you from the beginning to the end, but I'm with you. I'm with you.
You're the man. You're the man.
I'm that
look,
kind of person.
Time
we together. We together.
Yes, sir. Look, our time has run out for the night, man, but we'll be back on the line again next week, man, if you want to call in and share some more information.
I'm glad to know that.
Right,
maybe the people who are tuned in, who I told about it, maybe they'll call in and start listening on a regular basis. But I may just call in next week and listen. But I'm looking forward to it because next week is it'll be another day before the program down in Marvin on the 29th.
That's right.
Okay,
so I'll
call in next week and maybe try
to
push the program.
There you go.
I'll tell you what,
thank you very much for inviting me.
Hey, Leon, I would say next time we know Dr. Bridges is coming, give us some warning and we'll be ready. We have the boards ready, but I'm telling you, man, you blew up the boards tonight, brother. Good job. Great job.
Yeah. Hey, that's the way, as the young people say, that's the way I roll.
All right, you rolled tonight.
Thank you, brother.
And maybe I can do that DC radio program for you too.
All right, we're gonna work it out, okay? Off there, we work it out.
All right, thank brother, I'll keep you guys connected, okay, man?
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother for Real Radio Show with the Real Talk with Dr. Bruce Bridges. We'll be back next week. Hopefully he will too. God bless you. You guys have a good night. We're giving love.
Have faith in you.